Our next guest on Downtown is, for my money, one of the best sports journalists in America. She can be heard on 670 The Score in Chicago. Recently had a wonderful op-ed piece in the New York Times. She is also a Peabody Award winner, Julie DeCaro. Great to have you back with us on Downtown.
Hey, good to talk to you again.
Man, oh man, this piece you had in the Times. First of all, it's deja vu. Here we are once again dealing with men who don't seem to be comfortable at all with women in sports.
Yeah, and not just men. I mean, there were a fair amount of women who sort of jumped into the fray and were kind of defending their, you know, defending the fact that they were dragging another woman who had just smashed through a huge glass ceiling, you know, on social media. So it's a really curious kind of dynamic. But I think what it comes down to is whether you're a man or whether you're a woman who's grappling with issues of kind of internalized misogyny, that for a lot of people, they feel uncomfortable hearing a woman call a football game, which I thought was really interesting.
All this stemmed from our friend Beth Mowins, who broadcasts the Monday night game and is great and has been doing it for a while and finally gets this opportunity to do a big-time National Football League regular season game. But many people are quick to say, Julie, this is not because they're women. I just don't like the sound of their voice.
Yeah, well, that's really what made this so interesting to me is it's sort of like when someone says, I'm not racist, but, and then what they say usually is typically super racist. I feel like it's the same kind of thing. I mean, Beth Mowins sounds like a woman. She is a very good voice for broadcasting. In fact, Andrea Kramer pointed out in the article that she is able to cut through ambient noise in a stadium, which is something that not every broadcaster can do. You know, I listened and really listened to her hard to try to see what it was that people found so objectionable and really could not do it. I mean, there have been so many men down throughout history in broadcasting who have terrible voices and really obnoxious twangs and nasal voices. And, you know, she doesn't have any of that. So I really question if there is any woman out there that they would find her voice to be acceptable. And my guess is that there isn't, even though they say, oh, I like this woman or I like that woman. But I think when you put someone in a booth, I think it changes the dynamic. And so while they may like someone on the sidelines, whether they would actually like that person calling the game, I don't know, because all we've ever heard are men calling games.
Well, and as you point out, in that Monday night broadcast, she was the star of the show. Rex Ryan had a very difficult struggle in his first game as an analyst, and poor Sergio Dipp got his one-and-done sideline piece, but she was the picture of consistency.
And she had to hold the whole thing together. I mean, she's getting no help from her co-host or from her analyst in the booth. She's getting no help from the sidelines. So she basically was it. She had to hold the whole broadcast together, and I thought she did a great job.
Now, women, too, and we see this in several other areas. You mentioned Jessica Mendoza, who I think does a really solid job on ESPN's baseball coverage. But it's that standard that women, even if they're doing play-by-play, in the case of Beth, are expected to know the game inside and out when we don't hold men to that same standard.
Right, and there's plenty of guys who've said to me about both Jessica and Beth that she's never played the game, so she shouldn't be allowed to broadcast it. Well, Al Michaels wasn't a football player. Vince Scully wasn't a baseball player. I mean, we've gotten used to listening to these guys. I don't have any, you know, memory of Bob Costas being any kind of super athlete. But these are all people that we love listening to in the broadcast booth. And so there's a real double standard there, especially for a generation of girls that have grown up under Title IX, who have grown up, you know, playing and watching sports along with boys, to suddenly get to a certain point where they say, you know, well, you're a woman, so you never played football in an organized league, and so you can't call the game. It's ridiculous, because there's plenty of guys out there that didn't play football in any kind of meaningful way other than, you know, backyard pickup games, which girls do as well.
We're talking with Julie DeCaro of 670 The Score in Chicago. I thought it was very interesting in your piece that several people said they look to sports. This just blows me away. They look to sports to get away from women.
Yeah, guys say that all the time. You would be surprised. I have men say that to me all the time. They say, no offense, but I go to sports to get away from women. So the last thing I want to hear when I turn on my radio is a woman telling me the scores. And I'm like, well, I'm really sorry about whatever issues you have. But the fact is that I grew up with sports, and so did tons of other women. And tons of men grew up with sisters they played sports with. And so this isn't your little like corner of the world to escape from women. But there are a lot of guys out there that feel that way. And what's remarkable about it is that they are very comfortable saying that publicly in 2017, which always blows me away.
where do you see the future of this going? Are we going to see, whether it's on ESPN or Fox or anywhere else, more women given the opportunity to do play-by-play?
God, I really hope so. But I feel like, you know, with seeing Jessica, so it's been, you know, almost 18 months, 2 years that she's been doing Sunday Night Baseball, we haven't seen a huge push of women coming behind her into the booth. So it's always great to see women making strides and being put in these positions they haven't been in before. But unless we see more women coming up behind them sort of through the ranks and moving into those positions, it's kind of hard to get excited about it. And I haven't seen that on the football side or on the baseball side. Basketball and the NBA, I think there's more women sort of in the pipeline coming up. I know Sarah Kustak just got a job doing doing analysis for the Brooklyn Nets, which is terrific. But in baseball and in football, there doesn't seem to be that pipeline of women who are sort of being trained and coming up through the system. So that's really where I think we have to be concerned about seeing more women.
And does that start with local level, with local stations that give women an opportunity to do play-by-play for high school or local college games?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, in some ways, sports media is behind other industries, that there are, you know, we see women on TV doing sports, but, you know, it's kind of skewed. Like, you're either, it's always reporting. It's never really your analysis, you know? So we see women on the sidelines talking about what's happening. We see women being update anchors on the radio, like I am. And there's women, you know, moderating shows where you're basically soliciting opinions from four or five men. But there aren't a lot of positions where women are allowed to give their own analysis of what's happening in a game or what's happening in any given pro sport. And I think that that is where we're going to have to see a lot of change before we start to see change on a much higher level. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be programming directors and, you know, producers who are comfortable having women show what they know about sports. And in some ways, that is still kind of a rebel thing to do in this industry.
And of course, as we've talked about with you before, woe be the woman who dares to express her opinion about sports, even if they're a professional like yourself. When you go out there on social media and weigh in at all, you become subject to every manner of name calling and second guessing.
Yeah, there is a lot of that too. And unfortunately, I've heard a lot of young women in the past year when I've gone around and spoken at colleges and stuff say, you know, I really want to work in sports, but I just don't know if I can handle the trolling and all the abuse that gets hurled at you. And that is really unfortunate. And I think something that, gosh, I wish I had a solution for it. I wish that Twitter would crack down on it, but I think it's going to be increasingly upon media outlets to sort of protect their employees and sort of have steps in place to be able to help them head this off and help them deal when this happens to them, because inevitably it is going to happen to them.
Well, we have to hope it improves it. I don't know that it can get any worse the way it is right now. And I wonder if that is scaring people away. If there are young women who think this could be a future for them, but just don't want to deal with all the nonsense that men never have to. I don't know any men. I know a lot of them in the business. I don't recall anybody ever pointing out something about their wardrobe, their weight, their hair, their physical appearance on a regular basis.
Yeah, and that's sort of the thing with going back to Beth's voice. It's that whatever it is, there's going to be criticism of it if you're a woman in sports. So, you know, Andrea Kramer had the great quote that we're criticized from head to toe, including our hair. And I think that's so true. And when you have a woman who's all you can hear is her voice, because she's, you know, behind the scenes and she's calling the game and you're not looking at her, then that's the thing they choose to criticize. So it really wasn't surprising that so many people focused in on that as the thing they didn't like about her. I think if she'd been standing in front of the camera, it probably would have been something else, something about the way she looks.
And of course, the other thing that women always have to be aware of, I think, in sports media is men can afford to be wrong once in a while, misstate a fact, just simply not perhaps be as thorough in their research. Women can almost never afford to do that because people will just pounce on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had, you know, updates where I've misspoken, or I've been hosting and I've misspoken, or, you know, two players have a similar name and I said the wrong name. And it's immediately the text line lights up. This is why we shouldn't have women in sports. She doesn't even know what she's talking about. Whereas when guys do it, it's a joke and it becomes like a running joke and they go back to it and they make fun of it over and over and everyone just laughs. And so, yeah, I mean, it's much tougher for women. You can never, ever make a mistake, or it's going to come back to haunt you. And I still have, you know, mistakes that I made where I tripped over my tongue a year ago that people are still bringing up to me. So it's tough. It's definitely tougher for women. Hopefully the generation that's coming behind ours, like my son's generation, they are very comfortable seeing women in sports positions because they always have seen it. They've always seen Erin Andrews and, you know, Beth Mowins and Doris Burke and women like that. So hopefully this won't be as big of a deal for them. But for my generation, it's definitely something that we have to constantly be concerned about.
Well, if you haven't read Julie's great piece in the New York Times, check it out, newyorktimes.com. Safest bet in sports, men complaining about a female announcer's voice. Julie, always great talking with you. Thanks so much for being with us. Follow Julie on Twitter, too. She's great. Keep fighting the good fight. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Rich. Bye-bye.